Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season two of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season two is out now from Lemonada Media.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Kids, listen to your mother.
Mom!
Welcome to Between Us Moms with Katie Crafts-Morg and Hallie Stevens-Drake.
Hey, mamas, and welcome to a special episode of Between Us Moms. We are so glad that you are here and want to spend 30 minutes with us. This episode is going to be all about our IVF journeys. We felt like it was important to share with you guys what we went through and how it all worked. So I think we should dive right in. I feel like, Hallie, you were sort of the catalyst of this for us.
Which is so crazy, honestly, because I never in a million thought that IVF would be part of my story. But you and I worked together. That's how we know each other. We became work wives, best friends, all the things. But we were kind of at a season of our life where we were killing it at work and on the precipice of like really skyrocketing in our mid-30s. So not an ideal time to start a family, or so it felt at the time. And I was just feeling the pressure. I felt like it was really coming down. Everyone was asking, when are you going to have babies? When you have babies, like what's going on? You know, all the things, especially because I'm married and people were like, why aren't you guys doing this? And I thought it kind of dawned on me, and I want to say it's a God thing because it came out of nowhere, where I was like, we technically work for a company that technically a tech company, because at the time the digital, we were on the digital side of the show that we worked for. And I was like, let me just check our insurance and see what's up, if we have any fertility coverage, because putting some eggies, some embryos on ice would really take the heat off for a second. And so I looked into our insurance, and lo and behold, it fully covered a couple rounds of IVF. And I was like, this is the bomb. Why is no one talking about this? And of course, you and I, kind of on the older end of the team, so younger people may not have been talking about it, but I made it my mission to tell everybody, you being first, because I knew it was something on your heart too. And you had just started dating Jason.
Yeah, we'll get into that.
We'll get into that. So it was a very, very interesting time for you. But I decided, like, what the hell? If work is paying for this, if my insurance pays for this, there is no downside to doing it. I went in, I ended up, and trigger warning, there is some miscarriage talk in this episode. So if that is hard for you to hear, this may not be the episode, but that is coming. My story kind of went where I decided to do IVF. I ended up getting pregnant. We didn't plan to get pregnant. We did. And when that pregnancy ended in a miscarriage at 10 weeks, a spontaneous miscarriage, really, truly an awful, terrible thing, it dawned on me how important it was to move forward with IVF. And so that is when we decided to move forward. And we did one round. We were told two would be more likely because of my age and kind of where I was at in my, you can speak to this better, Katie, because at this point, all the terminology is kind of forgotten. But based on where my numbers were and what the doctor saw, she said, we're probably going to have to do two rounds, which sounds very daunting if you've ever done it. So Katie, you can kind of talk about that.
And what you're referring to, I think, is your AMH level.
AMH. Yeah. And for anyone who doesn't know, and like even refresh my memory, what is AMH?
Your AMH is a really strong indicator of how many eggs are left in your ovarian reserve. It's like the first thing that doctors will test for when you start going to see a fertility specialist. And it just kind of gives them an idea of how many eggs they would expect to see on an ultrasound during any given cycle. So if you're on the low end and you're like in the 0.3, like anything under 1 is a little bit of a concern for them sometimes. You really want to be above that to have a stronger chance of having children. That's not to say it's like the end all be all. It's just a good indicator.
And Katie, I know you'll get into this, but you initially had a really low.
Mm-hmm. Really low, like basically like diminished ovarian reserve. I'll get into all that. It's because it's a crazy story, but
Yeah.
So you,
but just to say, you'll get into it, but you were able to kind of remedy that just by
vitamin D.
Yeah. Vitamin, so
the one thing that I do want to say, like at the early on in this episode is, and I've done so much now research and reading on how much vitamin D affects our bodies, whether it's our AMH potentially, or like other things going on inside of us, so much of it can be traced back to a vitamin D deficiency. So if you take anything away from this podcast, like make sure you are taking your vitamin D and checking in on those levels, because it really does play a big role in our bodies. And I can say that confidently. I've like talked to doctors about this. So vitamin D is a really big, important thing that we do for ourselves.
And vitamin D is something that most people are deficient in.
Yes, and they don't even know it.
Yeah. So that is so important. What I will say, my takeaway from IVF at this point, and I encourage everyone to immediately, wherever you are in life, talk to your insurance company. Find out if it's covered, because you might be surprised. A lot of times companies aren't advertising it, but it might be fully covered. It is only to your benefit to go through 2 weeks of shots. Maybe you have to do it more than once, 2 weeks, whatever. Sure, it's not the most fun thing, but honestly, you do yourself such a service to take that pressure off, to put these eggs or embryos on ice and just to have them if it is covered.
I always say that to people, and that's, you won't regret freezing your eggs or freezing embryos, but you might regret not having done that. And if your insurance doesn't cover it and you don't really have the funds to be spending all this money on even blood work, not to make this like a sales pitch, but we started Novalyn Fertility so that you can check those numbers on your own. It's a state-of-the-art technology. It's actually the same technology that Modern Fertility uses, only we test for better things, different things, more things. And I would just highly recommend finding out early on what your fertility looks like so that you can determine like, ooh, maybe I have a really low vitamin D level. I can maybe improve things with that, or I need to start saving money so that I can freeze my eggs soon because it might be hard later on. It's just setting yourself up for options is really what you're doing.
And when Katie says we started, she means she and her husband. Katie does it all. And so what's crazy is I remember having these initial conversations with you just about fertility and about the pressure we were feeling with our age and just, are we ready to do this? We're finally seeing the payoff at work that we've been working so hard for. And is this our time? And now to see how you have started this business to pay it forward to other women is so admirable, just as a sidebar. And truly, she's so right. I know that it is a daunting expense and that it is a privilege to be able to do it if insurance doesn't cover it. But Katie's absolutely right. Doing these at-home tests are so affordable. Novalyn Fertility, couldn't be easier. It at least gives you a baseline so you know where you stand and you know if you have to worry. So for example, when Andrew and I got married in 2017, I was ready to go. I was not quite at the point in my career where I felt like this isn't my time. I was like, let's just do the thing. Andrew wasn't ready, but I went and I got a baseline at my doctor. Not at all as informative as what your at-home tests do. I just knew kind of where my levels were at and I knew I was okay. So I took a beat.
And you know, that's the thing too. They change over time, like over a year, like what you're at in 2017 is totally different than where you're at in 2024. And I also feel like doctors need to explain these numbers more to people because I feel like you don't know, like I didn't even know what an AMH level was until you're in it, right?
Right.
And I want us to get back on the IV because this is all about IVF.
Yes.
Our journeys. You're pregnant now with your second child via those embryos that you created with your husband.
Yep.
Was there a reason why you guys decided to implant one of those embryos after having Dylan?
Yes. So our story kind of went, got pregnant, surprise pregnancy, miscarried, moved forward with IVF, did one round, got two embryos, put them on ice just to take the pressure off. I got pregnant again. We were just having a lot of fun sex, got pregnant again. We weren't really trying and miscarried again. And at that point, I felt like we might have an issue. This could actually be something that is a problem for us. So it got to the point where I thought, we need to start trying for real. If we want to really have kids, we need to make it a priority. We said, let's try this naturally one time. And if it doesn't work, we'll use our embryos. That's when we got pregnant with our first daughter, Dylan. So she was a natural pregnancy, a dream pregnancy. Like we've talked about it before, loved being pregnant. We had two embryos on ice from our round. And because I am 39, it felt like the safest option for us was to use these embryos that we had that were genetically tested, that we knew were healthy, they were graded well, kind of takes out some of the risk of miscarrying because those early first trimester miscarriages, like the ones I had, are generally speaking due to genetic
abnormalities.
So this kind of removed that potential.
And that's another piece of education that isn't out there. One in four pregnancies end in miscarriage. And it's almost always, or the majority of the time, it's due to a genetic abnormality in the embryo.
Yes. And no one talks about that.
No.
So it does help knowing, you know, I'm older now, the quality of my eggs statistically aren't going to be as great. And it was like, we have these, we went through that, let's use them.
Yeah.
So around my birthday, we implanted. You do, the surprise to me was that you have to do progesterone shots your entire first trimester, which sucks.
And you take medication before.
Leading up to.
Yes, like 2 weeks before to prime your body to think that it's going to carry a pregnancy.
Exactly. So you're doing all these things. I will say this pregnancy has been way harder. I don't know if it's because I'm older, because I have a toddler, if it's because of IVF. The shots are the hardest part. I will say that Andrew and I have always said, we are glad we put embryos on ice before it was a last option. I really feel for the women who this is their only option. The couples, really, because it's hard on both people. But for us, we did it in a place where it wasn't emotionally, you know, these are literally all of our eggs in one basket. It was
because it is
emotional, but we didn't have quite the same emotional experience that a lot of people have when it's their last option.
Right. Which is why it's so smart to, again, take precautions earlier rather than later. Like, it's so good that you researched and that you found out that you were able to make embryos and that a lot of it was covered. And yeah,
exactly.
Proactive.
Yeah. And to sort of end the story, we were very, very, very fortunate. Not every transfer of an embryo takes.
Nope.
I have family members who have done it and not had the same success. Ours took. I was pregnant. I am pregnant. I'm doing 2 months with this baby girl. Now the weird thing is, do we in the future tell Dylan you're actually younger because you were conceived?
Yeah, right?
Like, how does that work?
I wonder that all the time.
I know. Wow. But I think your story is so interesting because you were in such a new and fresh place with Jason. And I think a lot of people could relate to that. So I feel like you should share that story.
So Jason and I met a little bit later in life, if you will. I was 34 and he was 39, and he had also been previously married, no children. And I had thought, I mean, I talked to you about freezing my eggs, but never actually did it until you called and did all the homework. And I thank you from the bottom of my heart for that.
My pleasure.
And so a few months into dating, we had the talk about wanting kids one day, and we were on the same page.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
And once we had been dating for about a year, I remember because I made the appointment. So we started dating in January. I made the appointment to go in for like the baseline testing and all this stuff with a fertility clinic. And so I went in January 2021 was the appointment. So it had been exactly a year. And they told me that my AMH was low. They're like, don't wait to freeze your eggs. Your AMH is 0.3, which is so low. It is like the lowest you can go is 0.0. And I was a 0.3. And so I was bummed. I was freaking out. I then had to like go to Jason and be like, hey, I'm going to freeze eggs, but apparently they hold better if it's embryos. And I just thought it was important to have that conversation of like, this is kind of where I'm at. And he was like, okay, I'm on board. But when you do genetic, when you decide to make embryos with somebody through a fertility clinic, they do genetic testing on you guys. So then, more bad news, we found out that we're both carriers of the same genetic abnormality, I guess you can call it. We're both carriers of nephrotic syndrome, which is a kidney disease, and it could really affect your baby. And they're like, well, you guys are both carriers. So there's a 1 in 4, 25% chance that your child will be born with a nephrotic and that your child won't live very long. And so we're freaking out. We had to meet with like genetic counselors. It turns out we, I believe, have different variants of this. So then it turned out to be like a 1 in 1,000,000 chance that our child would have it. So we were like, oh my gosh, thank
God. What a high low. Or and, low, high.
Yeah. And also like, you know, we've only been dating for a year at this point. Right. And so it's like a lot of information and a lot of emotions to have with somebody when it's still like a fresh relationship. But again, I guess it's like when you know, you know. And we like got through all that. So we're like, all right, let's make these let's make, maybe it's one in 250,000. Sorry. Anyways, we were like, let's make these embryos. So when we, before they did that, another thing you have to do is an HSG. Did you have to do an HSG?
No. So that's when they shoot.
They fluid. Put dye. Yes. It is horrible. Yeah. So they had to
Why, Katie, we went to the same doctor. So why did you have to do that and I didn't?
So many, many years ago, I also had an ectopic pregnancy and they wanted to make sure that my tubes were okay.
Got it. Okay.
And so they essentially like shoot dye up your vagina. It's horrible. I ended up seizuring on the table. So they never actually could determine if one of my tubes was blocked or open or whatnot.
But explain what that is, because I know women who aren't even undergoing fertility treatment who've had the same thing. I'm curious, what is it? And then why did you have a seizure? I remember all this, by the way, so well. It's all coming back. I'm like, I remember being on the phone for all these things. It was such a journey, but.
So an HSG is just a way that you're, I'm trying to think of like the best way to put it. It's basically so your doctor can have a better look at what's going on with your tubes. So they basically like blow up this balloon, kind of like up your hoo-ha with like this metal something from the 1920s device. And then they shoot up dye. And then they'll look to see if the dye is flushing through your tubes or not. And if the dye isn't, it's usually an indication that a tube is blocked.
Okay.
If that makes sense to you.
Yes.
For me, because it was so painful, I don't know if it was like the doctor, he kind of gave me like heebie-jeebies. I think I wasn't prepared for what this was going into it. And so we still don't know like why I started seizuring. Anyways, all that to say, we moved forward with freezing the eggs and creating eggs for 2 weeks. We did the shots. They're hard. I don't want to like sugarcoat it for anybody. Like you're doing multiple shots a day. You're emotional. You're injecting yourself with hormones. And the night before or two nights before, I can't even remember exactly now, you do like what's called a trigger shot. And then you go in for your procedure. The procedure is actually very painless. Like you're under anesthesia. It's very quick, especially if you're like me and the doctor only got six eggs. The doctor got six eggs, five of them fertilized, which was like a victory in itself. Three turned to embryos, but then only one was PGT tested normal. So that's something that they'll do when you go through IVF, is they'll always recommend that you test your embryos to screen for genetic abnormalities so that you don't miscarry. Yeah.
To talk here, this is the most stressful, at least for me. I found this part to be the most stressful. And we talked about this with Barbie Blank when she was on the podcast. The waiting game, you're getting these calls every couple of days to tell you, okay, we got this. You start by knowing the second you come out of anesthesia, they're like, you got this many eggs.
Yeah.
Then your partner is, jizzing into a cup in the other room, having a little fun. Then they take the sperm and they fertilize them, but you have to wait to see how they do after a certain amount of days. And you're getting calls and updates saying, well, this many
fertilized. Or this many did. Yeah. It's so much stress and anxiety in that waiting game and so much patience required. So all that to say, we ended up getting three embryos, but only one was normal. I want to preface this by saying, like, my daughter is now going to be 10 months old soon, and she is that one normal embryo. So, hallelujah. I'll get into this in a second, too, but we ended up doing another round.
Yeah.
But because we were at such a weird place in our relationship, we're like, okay, we took some pressure off. Hopefully, we'll have one child. I don't want to go through this again. It freaking sucked. I didn't like the shots. I didn't like how hormonal you are. Like, I remember my mom came over to bring us dinner one night and I just like started sobbing. It was just a hard experience for me. So in the meantime, I also started taking like vitamins to like maybe raise my AMH or give us a shot at conceiving naturally. I took vitamin D and I think CoQ10 and had my AMH retested and it went up to a 1.4.
Which is wild.
And then eventually a 2.1. So there needs to be more research done on how vitamin D is affecting those AMH levels. I should also say, like, I was on birth control for 6 years and had only been on it off it for a couple of months before January when we did all this. So I just think our bodies, like, so many things affect so many things.
Yeah.
So I want to, like, I don't want to spend so much time on this, but I will say we fast forward to November. We put all this kind of, like, on the back burner. We got married, like, we planned our wedding. We got married in November. And then a few weeks later, like, how crazy is this? I found out I was pregnant naturally. That ended in a loss. Like, I was so excited because I was like, oh my gosh, after, like, all that bad news and, like, the low AMH and then the rising AMH and we only had the one embryo. And then I got, like, it just felt too good to be true. So I ended up miscarrying that child around Christmas time. So we were like 8 or 9 weeks at that point. There was just like no heartbeat. It was awful. And I was told it was called a missed miscarriage because my body didn't naturally miscarry. Like, I had to take pills or they were going to have to do a D&C. And then we decided to kind of, like, take the next few months to heal. And then we thought, you know what, maybe we'll implant our embryo, because that was really a lot to go through. And we made her, but we thought, let's do another egg retrieval since we only had the one viable chance. So we ended up using Jason's insurance this time. But then the doctor, when we started going in for the baseline, again, even though my AMH had risen, he didn't see enough eggs that cycle. So he wanted us to wait a cycle.
Which is, like, another thing that people don't talk about. You say you want to freeze eggs or embryos, but your body has to be in the best place for them to do it. So sometimes you could do all the shots, do all the things, and they say, sorry, this isn't the month. I want to make sure you really get. So then you do it all again and it's paying for medicine again. Or it's just a waiting game. It doesn't happen a week after you decide.
Yep, exactly. So I remember, like, being in the parking lot after that and, like, crying again. Like, it's just hard. You just feel like it's, like, bad news after bad news after bad news. And so we never, like, really went on a honeymoon. So we're like, you know what? Let's just freaking go on a honeymoon. Let's go to Italy. It's, like, on our bucket list. Let's just do it. I had, like, days from work to use. So we did that. We went to Italy. It was so much freaking fun. And then I remember coming back and, like, having immediately to go back to Europe for a work trip, and then coming home, taking a pregnancy test and seeing, like, the faintest line. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, did I get pregnant in freaking Italy?
Yeah.
And I did.
Yeah.
But then again, and I don't want to, like, harp on the sadness of this, but lost that pregnancy as well. We went to the fertility doctor that week after my period came back and we're like, let's just do this retrieval and then we can kind of figure out when we can implant. So we did. We got all of our medication. We were getting ready to start preparing my body for the retrieval. Then I got COVID.
Oh my God, I forgot about that.
Isn't that crazy? Yes. So I think we had done, like, the first two nights of shots, and, like, the medication is expensive. Like, the medication isn't covered through insurance a lot of the time. So you're paying out of pocket. I remember I was, like, trying to find the most affordable, and you guys can do this if you're thinking about this. Like, you don't have to use the pharmacy that they recommend. You don't have to use CVS. Like, you can find these other pharmacies, and we found one in Georgia that could overnight everything, and the prices were significantly better. And also, it was easier to get hold of them, like, than CVS. No shame to CVS, but, like, you could get hold of them fairly easily. So I remember that happened and I had to, like, call them and, like, replenish our medication. I had to wait another month for the next cycle. In between all that, I had to plan and throw my sister's baby shower.
Yeah, I remember that.
Which is, like, it's just hard because you're, like, having all these losses and all this bad news, but you also want to, like, show up and support your sister who's having a baby and be excited for her, which I was, but it was still hard on my heart. So did that, restarted our stims the next cycle. And that time he saw, like, a lot more eggs. Like, there was, like, I want to say, I think 10 to 12 eggs, which is basically double what we got the first time. And I was so excited. We did the retrieval. Only 7 eggs, though, he was able to get, which I'm like, what happened there? And also, I remember my trigger was only after like day 8 or 9, which is not normal. So I don't really know what happened. But we got 3 embryos again that time and then again tested them. And again, only 1 normal and then 1 low mosaic, which we could do a whole episode on like mosaic embryos. And we should do that because I think that's like an important conversation. And then the 3rd embryo was labeled complex abnormal. We took it as a victory, though, and then fast forward to September 2022, we were ready to implant Kaya because after the 2 losses and the retrievals, I was like, let's just give ourselves the best chance at this. And like you, I was so surprised that we had to, you know, do these like hormone injections and take these pills and all this stuff like weeks before the actual implantation. So I think it was early September 2022 when all that started. And that's also fast forward to a few months after like all of this experience. That's when I was like, people need to understand their levels and like they need to understand what's going on with their bodies. And that's why we started Novalin, I think in like December of that year. I was like, this needs to be a thing that people understand and are educated on. But all that to say, our first transfer like yours was a success. We went to the same doctor, so let's give Dr. Peck a big shout out right now. Yay!
Yeah, Dr. Peck, Encino.
Yeah, so grateful. And it took, but also I was so nervous that whole pregnancy, weren't you? And like also the progesterone shots that you're doing every morning at the same time. I remember like telling my boss, like I have to do a shot every morning.
Yeah.
Like at this time.
And I was traveling and bringing, you know, back and forth to LA and bringing my shots. Andrew gave me most of them, but when I traveled, I gave them to myself and they're in the back. So you're twisting. It's a whole thing. What I do want to say is if you're thinking about doing this, don't let the shots or the fear of the hormones and all that stop you, because there's a lot. I will say your experience doing the retrieval was very different than mine.
Yeah.
I didn't have any of the bloating. I didn't get emotional. Like I didn't have a lot of the like really awful side effects that women could have. I had none of those.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
So it's case by case. And honestly, it is a blink. It is a blink.
I'm so glad you said that. Yeah. Because in hindsight, while you're in it, it's hard. Like I don't want to.
And it feels
like it's never going to end. Yeah. And now I look back and I'm like, oh my gosh. It's nothing. And look what I got out of that. And I'm so I don't want that to deter anybody. And then what's crazy about her story is, so after all of that, I fell pregnant naturally when her daughter was 5 months old. And again, I was like, it's going to be bad news. We had 2 losses. I just don't believe it. And here we are almost halfway through the pregnancy and like, so far so good. And I'm shocked. Like, I'm just shocked. I'm still so shocked. But it's a God thing and it's a miracle thing. And that's why I do think all babies are such miracles. But I also am so grateful to science and technology. And I think the reason why we wanted to do an episode like this was to show, like, please advocate for yourself and, like, please find out what's going on with your body, because hopefully you can take those preventative measures earlier rather than later so that you don't have a hard time. I mean, you and I combined have so many friends who've had such hard journeys, and some have had like such miraculous happy endings and some have not had. such happy endings. And I think the more chances you give yourself of having a family is what you want. And like, some people don't want kids and that's totally fine. But if you do, I think you really need to understand what's going on with your body earlier rather than later, just to set yourself up for success instead of like heartbreak or spending, you know, doing, can you imagine? I know some people who have done like 6 rounds of IVF. Some people are still like, I spoke at this event a couple of weeks ago with this company called Pregnant-ish. And so many people had stories about, you know, trying and doing IVF. I think one woman for 8 years, it's taken 8 years. And like some people are diagnosed with unexplained infertility in their 20s. And it's just something like, it's never too late or too early to like check in on what's going on.
Yes. With yourself. Yeah. Let this be your sign. If you've been thinking about it, if it's been on your heart, just do it. Don't question it. Move forward in some way, whether it's calling your insurance, purchasing a Novalin kit and testing all your levels at home. Just start the process. You won't regret it. There's nothing about that that you'll regret. And if you are someone who is still trying, just know that there are so many routes to motherhood. On this podcast alone that is less than a month old, well, more than a month old, we've had women who have done IVF and had success. Natural pregnancies had success. Miscarriage after miscarriage had success. Adopted and then had babies naturally. There are so many roads to motherhood. So whatever your road looks like, we're rooting for you.
And it might be different than what you think it's going to be.
It's and listen, okay. You're just know that you have two women here whose road was not easy. So we see you and we love you and we're rooting for you and we're here. So slide into our DMs, especially Katie's. If you have any IVF questions, she is truly a wealth of knowledge. So use us as a resource, as a shoulder to lean on and
as advocates for you.
Yeah. Like 100%.
You know, whatever you guys need, we really want this to be like a safe community and a place for us all to feel less alone. That's also why we started this. And we've been through it. We've made it out the other side. Well, TBD, we're still going through it.
Pregnant as hell over here. Yeah, pregnant as hell.
Yeah.
And grateful.
And very grateful. So, we love talking about this stuff. And I think it's important that we continue having these conversations. And that's why we did this episode.
That's right. Motherhood is a sisterhood, baby, like we love to say.
Totally. Well, thank you guys so much for listening. Hopefully you learned something. Hopefully this was somewhat educational, or if not, hopefully you just feel a little bit less alone in your own journey. And yeah, we'll see you guys back here. We're here every Tuesday and Friday. And we thank you so much for the 30 minutes that you lend us. And have a great rest of your day.